Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Well, let's go to work. Man, I'll tell you what, things are about to get better in your life. Anybody in on that? How about that? I'll tell you, what life looks like from here, from my point of view, for you is incredible, okay? And it's also conditional. It really is. And God's love is completely unconditional. God's promises, completely conditional, okay? Understand that. So you might have God's love operative in your life, because it's unconditional. But the promises of God may not be, because they are conditional. And that's what we have to understand. You know, in the book of Revelation, there were seven letters to seven churches, each of them carrying a different promise that you'll eat from the tree of life, you'll sit at my right hand, there'll be blessings forevermore. Okay, each of them had a separate promise, yet all of them had the same condition. And that condition is, to he who overcomes. To he who overcomes, he'll sit at my right hand. To he who overcomes, he'll eat of the tree of life. See, and so we have to understand the conditional side of the life of God in Christ. And I believe, see, where I'm at right now, it's the end of November, and what I'm just looking at what's next, what's new. And a new year's coming up. Okay, a new year for all of us. And it's good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. See, this new year is going to be different than this year because our expectations change. See, the world makes resolutions. The world makes kind of veiled commitments to things. And sometimes they play out and sometimes they don't. But understanding, listen, the promises of God always play out if we overcome. And what we have to overcome, see, for me, God wants to do a new thing. So it's not just when we're born again. And I'll tell you, I thank God for 2 Corinthians 5:7, because I got saved. I was hungover. I hadn't slept in a long time. I was at the lowest point of life that you could get. And this preacher, I mean, I said the prayer in front of the church. I answered the altar call. And this preacher said, "How do you feel?" And before I could even lie, because if I said fine, it would have been a lie. But before I could even lie to him, this preacher said, "How do you feel?" And he stopped and he pointed at me. He said, "Look at me. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let me tell you, I was so far from God at that point. There's no way that could I ever even, I mean, it didn't make sense, number one. Number two, but it was the farthest thing from where my mindset was. I mean, here I was hungover at the front of this little Assembly God church, and I'm confessing Jesus, and it's like, what am I? I'm repeating with this guy. What am I doing? And then he gave me a word, and I'm telling you, that word stuck in my heart, and I carry it today. I mean, if you ask me who I am, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm telling you, I say it with glee. I say it with a hop in my step. I say it with a fight in my heart. I say it with, man, I'm going to take all comers. Why? I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. See, the great thing about the new year is we're not looking back. See, what Paul said, man, I haven't arrived. I haven't perfected, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind. And then he said, reach and strain for the things that are ahead, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's what God has for us. God has a future and a hope. And I'm telling you, I'm looking towards 2016 already in my life, in the life of this church, in your lives. And you know what? I'm not playing the game before the kickoff, but there's groundwork that we have to lay. There's preparation that we have to make. Man, I'm preparing my heart for what's next. Last year, I believe the Lord put it on my heart that we were to make bold moves. Man, just make bold moves. Well, this year it's take initiatives. It's similar. And every year you'll say, "Yeah, I've been here so many." Sandy can say, "Man, for 23 years you've had a fresh word for the church for 2016." I said, "No, I know. Isn't it awesome?" And it's all very similar. Man, it's that life. Listen, life needs to get better for everybody. And I'm telling you, it can hear. That's what I see. Now, what's in front of you? That's the question. 2016, what's in front of you? Man, I know some of you guys have had years that you'll think, oh my gosh, I never dreamt that anything like that could ever happen to me, happen for me. Man, similar to AJ, similar to the friend of his coming. Man, he loaned a guy a car, thought, man, Mariah and I can figure out one car and, you know, we could kind of be imposed upon a little bit to bless you. You don't have a car and you need a car and here, we want to help you and God will come through for us. And a couple days later, a guy tells him he wants to give him a car to pick one. And picked the right one too, didn't he? And that's funny. But we have to understand that what that is, listen, that's God's favor that's operative in our lives. The things that you see in people, man, the years that they have, where they have years where it's like, it's a remarkable year. Man, so many things. You know, the fight that you had to go through just to get into the remarkable side of the year. And but then you look back on it, you think, oh my gosh, that was just amazing. And what it is, it's God's favor that's upon our lives. See, here's how this breaks down. And it breaks down in three separate phases. Number one, God loves us ridiculously and unconditionally. Number one, God loves us. And no matter what, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're currently doing right here and right now, God loves you no matter what. See, no matter what. And nothing can take that from you. Okay, so God loves you. Number two, then since he loves you, his hand's upon your life. Okay, his hand is his protection. It's his provision. Man, it's his purpose. See, his hand's upon our lives. So he loves us, his hand's upon our life. And since his hand's on our life, listen, he's favored us. See, and now we're in a flow of his favor. That is his favor. And the Bible even talks about that blessings come upon us and overtake us. And that's a type and shadow of what we live in right now. See, his favor comes upon us and overtakes us. And see, that's what we have to get used to living in, is the favor of God. Paul in Romans 12 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, he said, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we're used to being conformed. Man, that's how our life normally is. It's that we're conformed. We conform to situations. We work our tails off to try to fit in. We want to know what the dress code of the event is, and we want to know how people there talk, and we want to go through the orientations of life, and we're conformed to things in this world. But then Paul stops and says, no, listen, in the kingdom, we're not conforming to this world, we're being transformed. And he said this transformation happens, and it's going to be awkward because it's different than anything else on this planet by the renewing of your mind. See, and then you'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the will of God in your life is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that's the future that God has for you. What does that require? That requires some change. What brings that change upon? The new thing that God wants to do. God wants to do a new thing in your life today. He wants things to be, and you'll say, well, it's going to be brand new. For some of you, yes, maybe. For others of you, it's just, man, God's going to take the things in your life that don't meet his standard, that don't equate to good and a future and a hope, doesn't equate to health. And you know what he does? Man, he trumps whatever that is that's operating in your life, the facts that are operating in your life that aren't good. He trumps them with his truth. And his truth always prevails. The truth always wins. Please understand that. Truth always wins. Truth always trumps facts. There's some of you that, man, the change that's required is you have to speak to that mountain. Be removed and be cast into the sea and don't receive any doubt in your heart and you'll have whatever you say. See, you change things. See, what we have to do as Christians is we have to change the atmosphere. We have to change the we have to change the experience we're having in our surroundings. See, we walk in, man, there's locker rooms I've been in, there's sidelines I've been on, there's huddles I've been in, there's churches I've been in, and I'm thinking, okay, someone's got to make a play. Someone's got to change the atmosphere. I mean, a lot of times that's my role in here. Man, it's to change the atmosphere. Why? Because people come in, it's like an emergency room in this church a lot of times. See, some of you guys are just coming in because, man, you got your life in order and you're doing your devotions and you got your memory verses and you're buying the new worship songs and all the other stuff, I guess, that you guys do. And you're coming to church to kind of get your mani-pedi at church. Others of you are bringing an arm in saying, hey, can you give me 5 minutes? I need my arm sewed back on. And that's kind of what it's funny because people come up and they'll say, can I talk to you for about 5 minutes? I'm like, yeah, but by the looks of you carrying your arm in, you might need a little more time than that. But see, it's all different. See, for a lot of people, this is like an emergency room. Man, people come in, it's like, I didn't realize I was so needy. I didn't realize that I was so deficient. I didn't realize there's a God out there that I thought I knew. And now I'm realizing I don't think I knew him. Man, it's different. I've never heard anybody talk. I've never heard people talk like this. I've never heard people act like this. I've never heard people. And see, and that's a change that God wants to do in our lives. God wants to do a new thing. See, what we do is we get up and we're like, okay, man, this song works. Do it again. Man, here's how the service flow is gonna be, because this is how it works in here. And then all of a sudden, man, it starts getting stale. And why do things get stale? Because I believe God operates by the law of diminishing returns. It's not just the world that operates or our flesh that operates like that. I believe God put that in us. See, there's a law of diminishing returns. We think, oh, if I just made 20 grand a year, I remember those days. If I just made $20,000 a year, I'd be fine. Well, my goodness, then once you make that amount of money, it's like, well, I probably think I need to make more. Why? Because that 20 doesn't satisfy me anymore now. So now there's a law of diminishing returns where the longer you do something, the less the return is on it. Why? Because there's no risk involved in it. And I'll tell you, the other thing that God put in us is risk and reward. You see, for everything we do, faith feels like risk to our flesh. But the reward is so great, so I've got to get up and I've got to teach the concepts of faith and the concepts of trusting God to say, listen, the risk that you're going to take is worth it because the reward is so great and so incredible that you're never going to miss out. You're never going to lack. You're never going to be under again. You're going to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. See, it's motivating. It's like stirs thing up, but what does it do? It changes the atmosphere. Man, it changes. Like, wait a second. What I'm going through, I'm going to get through it because look at these guys. I'm just telling you, no one's looking. No one's critiquing. No one's judging your past today. Nobody in here, and definitely not God. I'm telling you, that's what your flesh does. That's what the enemy tries to do is deceive you through your flesh. Try to deceive you into thinking, well, I'm probably disqualified. Man, I hate the devil. I'm telling you right now. You've got to put your flesh under. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to get to know Jesus. And you have to realize that because of him, you should write this down. Because of Jesus, you'll never be disqualified. And I'll tell you why this works. We were all born in sin. We were all born unclean. We were all born with this little, tiny, microcosm of sin that's on the inside of us. And you know, man, I'm about to have a grandbaby. And you know what? That grandbaby is gonna be special. Scott, you've had some grandbabies. That grandbaby's perfect. You know what? It's like, oh my gosh, it's not about 10 toes and 10 fingers and eyelashes and stuff. It's like, oh, she's precious. She's an angel. No, in that little angel is this little it's this little sin seed in her. It's gonna start growing. It's gonna start developing. You're not gonna have to teach those kids how to do wrong. I'm troubled. My kid doesn't do anything wrong. I don't know I gotta teach my kid how to do some wrong things. No, we don't have to do that. What do we have to teach our kids? How to do what's right. Why? because we're all born unclean because of the fall of Adam and Eve. So you know what God had to do? Is God had to take a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be greater than the why. So he sacrificed his son Jesus, who was born without blemish or born clean. The only one since Adam who was. He was born clean. And he was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. So here he is, born clean. God had to take him, and he had to take what was clean and sacrifice it to redeem what was unclean, and that's us. So now, what he did is he took our place so that we could take his place. See, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. See, so now the unclean part of us has been redeemed. So when God looks at us now, he doesn't just see us in our natural form. He sees us by the Spirit. See, God's Spirit, and he sees things by the Spirit. And he sees us now, and we're hidden in Christ. See, now God looks at us, and you're not disqualified because God looks at you, and he sees Christ. That's what he sees. And you know what? There's no shadow of turning in God, and there's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter to God what your background is. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And see, so now, you know what we do? Man, we push generosity. What? Now we push graciousness. Now we push forgiveness. Now we push service. Why? Because we all have to overcome our flesh. See, in the flesh, we all want to serve when it fits us. We all want to give when we have abundance. Man, we all want to be a part, but it's like, I don't feel like it today. That's when you have to make yourself. Why? Because you're a spirit man. You have to be spirit-led. See, you can't be led by the flesh anymore. Man, you're led by the flesh. The Bible, it leads you to death. If you're led by the Spirit, it's life and peace. And that peace, and we're going to hear in a minute how incredible this peace is. If you left here today and the only thing that you got out of the 35 minutes that we have together is a peace from God, I'm telling you, you're gonna leave dancing. You're gonna leave and it's gonna be, oh my gosh, I've got a future and a hope. I'm unstoppable. Man, I'm indefatigable. I'm not gonna wear down. I don't need a break. Man, my only sabbatical is I just want more of God. That's all I want. Man, when I take a sabbatical, it isn't because I'm gonna burn out. No, when I take a sabbatical, it's because I need to hear from God. I need to eliminate a lot of the people in my life so that I could tune in and, man, hear him. To come back to the emergency room and come back and help people with their mani-pedis and the other stuff. Let's get in the Word. You guys want to get in the Word? Anybody want to get in the Word today? Like 7 or 8 of you. 1 Peter 1:13, tell me when you're there. This is the time of year where we're laying some groundwork. You guys want to lay some groundwork? See, I'm getting better. I got rebuked today after the 9 o'clock service because I said I wasn't good at title and message. So the title of the message, they put periods, keep it simple. I guess that's artistic license or something. I just told them, call it keep it simple. But they called it keep it simple. First Peter 1:13, tell me when you're there. I don't know. At some level, that should bother you too, right? They took my title and they made a new one. Okay, but they wanted us to get in the Word. It's like the man behind the curtain. It's like the great Oz has told you to get in the Word. Okay, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, so... as obedient children, not conforming ourselves. Remember Paul said, don't conform yourselves to this world. Peter puts it a little differently. He says, don't conform yourselves to your former lusts. He said, as in your ignorance. Remember when you were ignorant and you're like, oh, let's get all we can get. And we realize, wait a second, this isn't good. This isn't God. This is how God has called me to live my life. And there's new and there's better. 1 Peter 1:13 in the Amplified says, so brace up your minds, be sober. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace that's coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Man, the grace, the divine favor that's coming to you. Three quick points. God reveals this favor to us through his word. Please, please catch this. I'm telling you, this favored life, AJ didn't win the lottery and get a car. AJ didn't roll the dice. No, AJ just walked with the master. That's it. I'm telling you, God loved him, God's hands on his life, and God favors him. And that's the product of favor. And God reveals this favor through his word. So our expectations have to be the favor of God. Man, I'll hear from my kids once in a while now. We'll be talking and I'll say, oh my gosh, how'd that happen? And each of them have said a number of times, well, it's just the favor of God, Dad. I'm like, oh, no duh, how did it happen though? You know, I mean, it's like you catch on to this, and it's so set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace that's coming to you. Man, the divine favor of God that's coming to you. Man, just settle where you are right now. Just realize where you are right now, because God's word's being proclaimed over your life, that God's favor is coming upon your life. Man, listen, you don't have to. God's favor is coming upon your life. He favors you. See, and that's how this works. And it's the only way it works. It comes through his word. Man, the preaching, the hearing, the speaking his word. When we put God first, everything in our life comes into order. When we put God first, everything comes into order. I mean, there are things I'm telling you, I can feel it in here. There's people that are like, well, wait a second. There's things in my life that are out of order. I need to put some things in order in my life. Okay, now all you gotta do, find the places in your life that are out of order. And I'm telling you, all they are little entrances, little windows, little doors that the enemy can get in and just snipe you. See, it's like this. Like the whole idea of sacrifice and redemption, that's all the tithe is. The first 10%, the first tenth, the first tithe of the whole of your income goes to God's house, goes to the local church. And you look at it and think, well, wait a second, I don't like it. I want to split mine up. That's not what the word says. It goes to the storehouse. It goes to where you're fed. It goes to the church that you belong to, okay? And then God says this, that I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on the windows. I will rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. The devourer gets in through doors and windows. And what God's doing is the tithe, what the tithe does is it shuts those windows and it shuts those doors and it seals your dwelling. It seals your life where the enemy can't get in. See, and we look at this, and why? Because, man, that money may be unclean, but because of the tithe, Jesus was our tithe. Because of the tithe, God takes the first 10%, the first tenth that's given to his house, and you know what he does? You sacrifice that, and it redeems the rest of it. See, that's how the whole thing works. That's how this life works. We put God first. Why? Because it redeems everything else. The situations in our life. We find out, man, the enemy's gotten in. You know what we do? We cast him out. The Bible says this. Submit yourself to God. Resist. Everybody say resist. Resist. Everybody say it again. Resist. Does it say to submit yourself to God and fight the devil off? Man, I hear people all the time go, well, I'm in a battle. I'm just fighting the devil. Why? Why would you fight someone that's already been beaten? I don't get it. Why give him that kind of place in your life? I'm telling you, the relationship you have with him is you hate him. You want to resist him. That's it. Don't give him rhyme or reason. Don't give him a second of your thoughts, a second of your attention. Man, it says submit yourself to God. Relinquish your rights and take on God's will. Resist the devil. What does the Bible say? He flees. He runs for his life. I'm telling you, that's how powerful this is, yet how simple it is. Keep it simple. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body. Man, the birds don't worry about it. The lilies don't worry about it. The grass of the field don't worry about it. And God loves you so much more. Therefore, do not worry saying. Therefore, do, verse 34, do not worry. Now, go to verse 32. 31. I'd like 31. There you go. Therefore, do not worry saying. See how important it is. Let me tell you, you start worrying, you have two routes you can take. You start worrying, you start getting anxious, you start talking that worry, you're stepping away from God, I'm telling you, you'll freak out. You will. You start proclaiming God's promise, you make covenant with God's word at that second in your life, you step toward God. You know what you'll do? You'll trust God. So that's two choices you have, trust God or freak out. And it doesn't matter what it is, a diagnosis. Man, how many of you guys have had awful diagnosis from doctors in your life? Can I see your hands? Awful diagnosis, like there's diagnosis. Let me just tell you, those are facts. Those are the facts of life. There are facts in life, and you know what? They're factual. But let me tell you what's awesome about facts. Facts fall into the column of things that are subject to change. The root definition of a lie is anything subject to change. The devil is the father of lies. The things that he is proclaiming over your life and into your life and upon your life are subject to change. How do they change? The power of God's word that are spoken, that come out of your mouth. Why? Because truth comes out of your mouth, which is God's word, and truth trumps facts every single time. Everybody say, truth trumps facts every single time. Hashtag why the heck not? I mean, why the heck not? Truth trumps facts. I don't know where that came from. Truth trumps facts all the time, every time. The facts are you got cancer. The facts are there's a tumor. The facts are it's operable, it's inoperable. The fact is you have diabetes. The fact is you need to, yeah, you know what? The truth is what? It's found in God's word. God's the healer. Is God schizophrenic? Is God subject to change? Is God a man that he can lie? No. So guess what? The immutability of his word, that if he's done it for anybody, he's bound by his promise to do it for you. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 33, Matthew 6 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's the promise. But seek first the kingdom of God. We don't try to get things like the Gentiles, the God people that are outside of the will of God, get them. We're not looking for man, we're looking above. Everything in my life that I value, everything has come to me. Everything. Everything in my life. I'm just telling you, it's incredible. I'm going into the new year. And it's got to be like this. It's just three categories: what I have to do, what I must do, what I should do, and what I could do. Okay, a Guts Church in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, started 2 or 3 years ago as what we could do. Yeah, we could. It'd be fun. I start driving around, start going to lunch there, start talking to people, looking for a life-giving church there. Okay, couldn't really find one, but it's like, okay, I am not going to do this through the arm of the flesh. We have done this for too many years not to trust God, okay? I'm gonna seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, and his righteousness. So what we did, I laid it down. It popped back up. I laid it down, it popped back up. I laid it down, it popped back up. And you know what? And then Chano gets a phone call from a building owner in Sepulpa, says, I've got a building, an old TG&Y building. We turned it into a furniture store. It's been a great building for us. It's in great shape. Everything works well. And we want it to be a church. Are you interested? You know what? It starts coming around the corner. It starts coming to us. I'm not kidding you. I'm watching this church. I'm watching this building walk toward us. Everywhere we went, that building went with us. And you know what? It went from something that we could do to something that we should do. And then you know what? A couple weeks ago, we make the announcement. The church roars over it. I'm thinking, this is something we have to do. This has become an expectation of our church. We have to do it. AJ, do we have to do it? We have to do it. And see, so that's how, and I'm telling you, that's how the grace of God works in our life. The grace of God works in our life. Here, Chris, get up. The grace of God's on Chris's life, okay? And it's hovering over his life like an umbrella, okay? And what God does is God may want to move Chris over here. God's will may be for Chris to be in this place right here. God's not just going to take his grace that umbrellas that protects Chris's life. He's not going to take that grace and just move it over here. Where now Chris has got to wander around, try to find God's grace. He's not going to do that. What God's going to do is he's going to take his grace, and it's over Chris's life, and he's just going to move it just this far. What does Chris have to do? He has to take a step. Then he's just going to move it like this. What's he got to do? He's going to take a step. And he senses there's something moving in his life until God gets him over here. See, and this is how this works. God's a gentle God. Okay? That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your request unto God with thanksgiving. And then it says, let the peace of God. And this is what you need to leave here with. Look, I'm at the end of my time. I'm jammed up. You have to leave here. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. Let the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Just live in it. Just know that God's grace brings his peace. And the peace of God, let me tell you what's synonymous with peace here is prosperity. Meaning you're in control, back in control of your life. Your debt's not in control. Your sickness isn't in control. Your hurt feelings aren't in control anymore. The offense you've suffered aren't in control. You're back in control of your life. You're able to make sound decisions. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind with the ability to make right decisions. You're not in prison anymore. You're a free man. You're a free woman. See, so let the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, that's what guards us. You want to guard your heart, you got to walk in God's peace. You want to walk in God's peace, you've got to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that peace comes in your life. Why? It's contingent upon that fellowship with God, remember? God's grace is contingent upon us just being with him, being in his word. And then he says this in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, a good report. And then he stops. He goes, listen, all that stuff, if there is any virtue, if you can find anything that's praiseworthy, what does he say? Meditate on these things.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.